For scripture reading this morning, turn from your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, and we'll be reading verses 14 through 20. The verses leading up to this passage, they speak of the Passover preparation and just how the things were that came about that Jesus, just as Jesus said they would. But we come to verse 14, and we read, When the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Let's pray God's blessing upon the reading of his word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have this morning to observe the ordinance of communion, Lord. We thank you for what it means to us who have placed our faith in you. Lord, thank you for sending your Son to be the broken bread for us, to shed his blood for us so that we can have a right relationship with you. Lord, we just pray for Pastor Craig as he brings your message to us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, we are departing from Romans. We're going to do something a little special this week. We've done this before. We typically do it at least once a year about this time of year, and that is just dedicate the entire service to communion. We never want this ordinance to be done complacently. We never want it to become just something else that we do once a month, and I think this might be a really good way to just set it aside, make it special, and that's what we're going to do this morning. Have you ever wondered, though, why so many of our occasions to remember something important incorporate a meal or food? I've wondered that, and I'm not sure I've got the answer, but we have Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner. We have Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day barbecues. We have New Year's Eve parties, chocolate on Valentine's, corned beef and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day, eggs, jelly beans for Easter, and even candy on Halloween. Now, aside from the fact that we require food and drink to stay alive, I don't know the psychology behind why we so oftentimes incorporate a meal with an occasion. I think our Lord does, though. As we look through the Old Testament, there are numerous feasts that were established to remember something great. I don't know the psychology behind it. I do know that oftentimes we associate food and drink with a memory, though. Every time I have an ice cream soda or an ice cream sandwich, I'm immediately transported back to my childhood and visiting my Aunt Erica. She supplied ice cream soda and ice cream sandwiches, kind of like the Lord supplied oil and flour for Elijah and the widow and her son. I mean, it was never ending. So I remember that. Every time I see a Snickers candy bar, I am immediately transported back in time to a childhood fishing trip with my dad. That's what I remember. Every time I see a Snickers, we camped out overnight at the edge of a lake. And I remember the night that we got there, we're going to be there for two nights. The night we got there, we're going to go fishing in the morning. And he had bought a 1 or 2 pound bag of those Snickers minis. And I ate them till they were gone. And I spent that entire night. Well, we'll just leave it at that. Okay, you can use your imagination from there. But that was unpleasant. But even so, when I see a Snickers, it's not so much that I think of as the goodness that surrounded it. That fishing trip, it brings me back to that fishing trip with my dad. And I think in a similar way, we have today the bread and the cup, which reminds us of the broken body of Christ and the blood that he shed. He was killed in a very brutal fashion. And while I'm sure that was unpleasant, it reminds us of something very, very good that came out of it. Our subject this morning is a brief one. In remembrance of me, and in Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 14, we find the instituting of communion. And our Lord did it on the Passover. He did it on the Passover feast of the Jewish people, a meal which was designed for the Jewish people to celebrate and remember the greatness of God in delivering them from the slavery in Egypt. How fitting that our Lord would use a feast commemorating freedom from physical bondage to initiate another feast that would commemorate freedom from the spiritual bondage of sin. In our passage, we find two teachings. There's a lot that we could look at here, but we find two teachings that we as God's children can remember concerning communion. And the first one is this. Remember Christ's desire. Remember Christ's desire. In fact, let me read to you verses 14 through 18 again. It says, "When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.'" Christ desired fellowship. He desired fellowship. It says that he fervently or earnestly desired to eat this Passover with his disciples. He wanted to spend time and enjoy the company of those who were his friends, those that believed in him, those that trusted in him and wanted to follow him. In fact, the Gospel of John records that just prior to this meal, Jesus demonstrated what a true disciple, what a true follower of him looks like. And as they all came into this upper room to have this meal together, back in that day, they just wore sandals. They came in, they'd been walking all day on dirt roads, and here they are in this upper room with dirty, filthy feet, which probably stunk as well. And what Jesus did in that moment was portrayed what a real disciple, what a real friend of God is, and that's a servant. And he bent down, and Jesus took that role, and he washed the disciples' feet. And he even said, I do this as an example to you, that you will follow it. And what he also did, through this time of fellowship and through that demonstration, he painted a picture for us that's closely connected to communion. And that is the fact that we, even though we are his children, even though we are his friends, even though we have an eternal relationship with him, we right now still walk through a sin-filled and dirty world. We get sin on us. We still sin. We still sin a lot. We fall down. We get dirty. And communion is an opportunity to be washed clean. In fact, 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John, that whole book, is really all about fellowship. Fellowship with one another, but also fellowship with the Lord. And we can come. Communion is an opportunity for us to come to Him. And if we have picked up sin along the way, bring that to Him and allow us to cleanse us. So Jesus desired fellowship, but He also, according to our passage, desired fulfillment. In these verses, Jesus revealed some very key things. This would be Jesus' last Passover before He suffered. Now, as we read the Scripture, it becomes apparent to us that His disciples did not put two and two together. They didn't understand everything that was going to happen. They didn't understand fully that Jesus had come to suffer, that He had come to die, that He would be raised again from the dead. So Jesus here talks about the fulfillment. And this would be the last Passover before He suffered. The suffering of Jesus was a fulfillment of what God predicted in the past. In fact, listen to this passage from Isaiah 53. It says, "But He," talking about the Christ, "was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him," the Christ, "the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter." This would be Jesus' last Passover before He suffered, and this would be Jesus' last Passover until the kingdom. The kingdom would be the fulfillment of what God predicted in the past as well. In fact, listen to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. The kingdom is yet future. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." Jesus here was looking forward to a time when He Himself will reign on earth. That is yet future for us. A lot of bad things will yet happen upon this earth before that kingdom is established. But here He tells us that I am looking forward to that day when I can have this kind of fellowship, like they're doing right now, with you again. And while He tells us to remember by partaking of this now, He Himself will not until we are together with Him. He was looking for fulfillment. This is a good thing for us as His children to remember. Secondly, we are to remember Christ's death. We are to remember His desire, and we are to remember Christ's death. Look at verses 19 and 20. "And He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is shed for you.'" Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And that leads really to a problem for us, because we've already discussed that we are sinners. Sin cannot be in God's presence, because sinful man cannot be in God's presence, because sin cannot be in God's presence. But God knew our problem, and he planned a solution. God provided a perfect person to pay the penalty of our sins for us. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, in fact, we sang a song that had part of this passage. It says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness or perfection of God in him." How do we gain that kind of righteousness? We've already admitted that we're sinners. We know that. How do we gain the perfection that qualifies us for heaven? By trusting in who Jesus is and what he did for us 2,000 years ago on that cross. Acts 10:43 says, "To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from the penalty of your sin. Jesus' body was broken. His flesh was beaten. It was bruised. It was torn. And it was cut. Jesus' blood was shed. Both the Old and New Testament proclaim that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins because the wages of sin is death. Jesus hung on the cross. His hands were pierced. His side was pierced. He shed his blood so that we could have eternal life. So that we would not have to die spiritually after our physical life is over. Jesus died for us and he offers us eternal life. And communion. Communion is an opportunity to remember his death and the great price that was paid so that God could offer salvation from sin and we could receive it freely. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And with that this morning, like I said, doing something a little bit different, I have asked two people to take a few minutes and just share a bit of their story in remembering how God drew them to the conclusion that they were a sinner and how they needed a Savior and then in turn received Jesus Christ and his payment for their sins. And I have asked two people, we're going to allow ladies to go first. So Amanda, I'm going to ask you to come up and share.
I don't really remember the exact moment I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, but I do remember just when we lived in Leeds, I went to a private school, and my teacher actually one day just came up to me and asked if I knew if I was going to heaven or not. I told her I didn't know, so that's when she started just to explain to me just how Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that how if I believe in him, I'd be able to go to heaven. I really don't remember what all she said, but I do remember just going home that night and just asking Jesus to save me from the penalty of my sin. But as I look back, I really don't remember just, I really don't think I got it back then. I mean, I was young, and I mean, I went to church and I learned the Bible stories and stuff, and I knew Bible verses, but I don't think I really got what I did until actually my dad, he sat down with me one day, and he just explained it to me. He actually used a remote, and as an illustration, he said, "All right, this is a gift, and all you have to do is accept it, and it's yours." So he just explained it, and that's what Jesus did on the cross for me, is that he is offering a gift of salvation and just from the penalty of my sin, that all I have to do is accept it, and it's mine. Well, then A while later, we were suddenly off to Wyoming. My dad went to Bible school there for 3 years, and it was a drastic change. I mean, it was away from all my friends. It's kind of scary, but after those 3 years, it was actually a good time of just growing closer to the Lord, because just our family actually called the Grange our little Christian bubble, because it was just away from the world. We lived in the middle of nowhere. There was no television, and I never was just introduced to those, like, worldly ideas of just, you know, kids having rights. I mean, well, that's a weird idea, but anyway. Anyway, then we, after those 3 years, we moved here to Mesquite, which was great because I got to be close to my old friends again, but also it was another big change in my life because it wasn't just, you know, the really hot summers, but it was just the fact that in the last 5 years, I have been pushed out of my comfort zone more times, this being a really big one. But it's actually just being pushed like that out of my comfort zone has just caused me to start leaning on the Lord instead of myself. So just helped me do that. But also I just wanted to, before I end, just wanted to talk a little bit about this summer up at camp, CMR up the, at Cedar. And I just... usually, every year after camp, someone comes up to you and asks you what was your favorite week of camp. Well, this year it was different. Usually, right off, I'd say leadership camp because it's just a great time of being taught and just with chapels and stuff. But this year it was hard because teen camp, and I also counseled at junior camp for the third year this year, but they were all just so great. I mean, if you would have looked at me last year at camp, I would have been the one in the background, just not really into the games or anything. I'd be, you know, yeah, go team, you know. Just not even going into the games or anything. It was just, I would usually be sitting alone. But this year, I was a whole different person. I mean, I think a couple people commented on how different I was this year. I mean, I was cheering so stinking loud. I mean, I almost went horse a couple times, but I was into the games. I mean, I remember one game, all my friends were calling me a beast at that game. So, and I was talking to people. I wasn't just sitting alone anymore, and just I think the Lord really helped me, just push me out of my little shell and just to get me out there. So this camp was just amazing, so I couldn't pick a favorite week. They were just all great, so that's it.
You know, my kids don't have rights. It's a dictatorship at my house. Now you all know. Thank you, Amanda. You did well. The other one, I'm picking on our counselors up at camp this year. So the other one that I asked is Sergio. And let me just, well, maybe I won't say it. I'll get emotional if I do. He's a neat guy.
Hello. All right. So I was raised in a very, very weak Christian home. There was almost like no emphasis on the Lord or anything like that. And family life, it was... far from the best. We were like on the edge of like broken family and stuff, and so at a very young age I didn't really conform to them, and I had believed in God, that there was a God that did exist, but the big thing that I did not know was how do I get to heaven, and I would not find that out for a good 16 years, so I just kind of lived my life in whatever way, and I was not really a happy child, and public school is harsh sometimes, and life was not good. It was getting worse and worse as I was growing up through school. I was miserable all the time, and I just kept asking, why are these things happening? There has to be a reason why. And it was completely just nothing. I would never find out until, like, years later, but it got bad enough to a point where I started to pick up a certain habit, and it became an addiction, and it was really harmful, and I just It was just awful because it overtook my life for a good 3 years, and everything was just getting worse and worse, and I was pursuing something I did not know, so I didn't know what to look for, and then it just kind of backlashed at me, and it almost led to my death. So, and I was asking, why are these things happening again and again, and I just had no answers. But then, I don't know how, but I guess, well, I don't remember how, not exactly, but I found one of my friends convinced me to go to a Bible study, and I said, sure, what do I have to lose in my mind? But I was like, yeah. And then it was actually really interesting because it kept my interest for a long while, and then like maybe a year later, another one of my friends that went to Bible study was like, are you saved and all that? And like I said, I don't know. And then like she went through kind of like a quick go through of like what the salvation was and then the prayer, and then I said the prayer, and then I was like, but I didn't believe it because I was like, how can just simply putting trust in what someone did for you just wash you of your sins? And so I just kind of continued my life just the way it was. It wasn't getting any better, really. It was getting worse and worse again. And then the same friend convinced me to told me about CMR and like really, really convinced me to go. And I'm so grateful for that because, oh my goodness, that 1 week up there, it was just such an eye opener for me. I mean, the Bible like had all the answers for everything that I was wondering about. And one of the cabin counselors, Daryl Thompson, he was my cabin counselor for that year. He kind of made it really clear on like how to get to heaven, how you can't lose it, and that was just really just at that moment I knew I was saved for sure. I know what I had done, and it was just such a life changer. Everything kind of just life just kind of turned around after that. And then in that whole year, I was kind of stagnant from after camp for until like a few months, like a month before it, like. There was a really bad situation kind of happening. And so I was like, oh, no. And then I kind of just turned to my Bible, and I just started going into the Gospels and everything and just the New Testament and everything. And it was just so much – it was so convicting. And then just at that camp last year, I knew I was saved for sure, so – and then just my growth from there until now has been just astounding because I'm doing things I never pictured myself doing. I'm sharing the word of the Lord with people with my friends that I can't believe don't really believe it. And just all these things that I've done, I got the privilege of counseling for 1 week at camp and just to go to leadership and team camp. And that just this whole month has been really super, super convicting. And there's something the salvation message is something that really just hit hard at home. It was like at all the camps and all that, and in my personal devos and all that, it's just something that's really just been, I've been taking it to heart. And it's just been a really super convicting just a month. And then for my future, which was one of the other things I was really worried about. It's like, I don't really have that fear anymore. I can just kind of leave it to God that He'll guide me to whatever I need to do, and that hopefully I've actually kind of considered maybe Frontier as a possibility, like after high school. So I just kind of see where the Lord leads me in that matter. So, yeah. And also I was baptized too. I forgot about that. So, yeah, I think that's everything that I can think of. So.
His growth has been astounding. I was thinking as you were talking about 2 years ago at youth group, Sergio would sit there on our couch with earphones in. Of course, you couldn't see him because his hair was covering everything. and he would sleep. No, that was more than one time. But anyway, it's been neat to see just how the Lord has gotten a hold of him, and just to see his fire for the Lord now. It's very encouraging. But anyway, what a wonderful way to enter into communion this morning. And at this point, I'm going to ask the two men that I asked earlier to come up. And my encouragement is, you know, in particular, having heard these two stories and just the extremes that our God went to save us from the penalty of our sin. Please do remember that, reflect on that, and also just search your own hearts. Let's search our hearts to see if there are some things in our life right now that need to be dealt with. Maybe we have been walking through the world and we have picked up some sin, and maybe we have fallen right into that sin. This is an opportunity to come clean, to bring that to the Lord, and allow Him to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, please partake with us this morning. But as the elements are being handed out, spend some time alone with the Lord and remember and evaluate our lives. Come to Him and be washed. John, would you please pray over the bread?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just thank you for this opportunity to observe and remember what it is that you went through just to make it possible for us to commune again with you someday. Father, Lord, we just remember your body that was broken for us and what you gladly endured for us, Father. And we just thank you so much for that, Lord. And as we remember that, Lord, we also just look forward to that day that you will call us home and we can commune with you. And we just, that's such an exciting just no words to express, Lord, just how neat of an opportunity that will be for us. So we thank you so much for gladly bearing the cross. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Reading from Luke this morning, it says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake together. Tom, would you pray over the cup, please?
And Father, as we take this cup as a remembrance of the blood of your precious Son that was shed on our behalf, the blood that washes us from sin, the blood that covers us and makes us clean, Father, the blood that came at such a high price. Father, just pray that you'd humble us as we begin to even more deeply recognize the love that it took you from you to pursue us and to wash us and to raise us up and to make us your children. We thank you for that, Lord, and we do look for the day when we can be together with you and sharing this meal. We ask that you come quickly, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. May the next time be with him." Let's partake together. Father in heaven, we do thank you for just this ordinance that you have established that we might not forget, Lord, the great price that was paid. And even though it was very, very unpleasant, very, very costly for you, Lord, it provided something very, very glorious and great for us. And for that, we thank you this morning. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'll pass the cups to the side, the men will collect them.